Gracious Lord, we thank you for your word of salvation today, and we thank you for we know it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray that you will bless us, that we may always love it, understand it, believe it, and live according to it, dear God. Make your Bible our comfort and our guide. Open our heart and mind when we read your word, that its sacred messages can take root and grow within us. Teach us to regard this day, Sunday, not only as a day of rest from our labors, but also as a day on which we may gladly hear and learn your holy word. Help us this day and at all times to seek and find you as you have revealed yourself in the scriptures. Bless us that we may daily worship and glorify you as our creator, our redeemer, and our comforter. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen and amen. If you please, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, and I wait for you at verse number 18. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. It's good to see Brother Lodge this morning. Praise God. Boy, I tell you, I don't have to work too hard with all these preachers on the on the front line. That's a thank you, Lord. It's good to see him and his lovely wife as well. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and the Bible reads, "And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power was given unto me in heaven and in earth." And the subject this morning will be entitled, "The Power of Jesus." Yeah. The Bible says Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And we want to talk about the power of Jesus, and 4 points in the lesson will be yours. Because Jesus has, number one, power over quality. Number two, he has power over nature. Number three, he has power over quantity. And number four, he has power over death. During the sojourn of Jesus on this earth, when he traversed this earth, he had power. He had power, according to Mark chapter 2 and verse 10, to forgive sin. And the demonstration of that power and the displaying of that power wasn't some kind of sideshow. But whenever Jesus demonstrated his power, there was a purpose in that demonstration. Am I right about it? I would think that among other reasons, there are at least two reasons that Jesus demonstrated his supernatural power. First, Jesus wanted his contemporaries to truly understand that he was the Messiah. The Messiah that was to die for the sins of the world. Secondly, he demonstrated his power and he demonstrated his might because he wanted all subsequent generations to know that he was and is truly the Messiah that came down from glory. Now, John chapter 20 and verse 30 says, "Now, many other signs did Jesus truly in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe." Now, there's two kinds of power. There's dunamis power. Dunamis power. Yes, that's right, dunamis. Dunamis power, which is our English word for dynamite. So Jesus had dynamite power. He had might and he had strength. And there's another word for power, which means authority. The word exousios, which is authority. And it is defined as the right of action, the authority to act. Jesus not only had almighty power, but he had the right to use his power. He had the right to act based on what his Father wanted him to do. God the Father certified him at the River of Jordan when he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." God also certified him on the Mount of Transfiguration when he said this in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, "Is my beloved Son." So he had certified power. And then when he got up from the grave, he said, "All power is in my hand." Matthew 28 and 18. So here's my point, church. This is why I want you to accept Jesus Christ. It's because he can release power into your lives. Because Jesus has power over quality. He's got power over nature. He's got power over quantity. And he's got power over the dead. Am I right about it? Jesus has, number one, power over quality. John chapter 2 and verse 10. You know the story. It was the first recorded miracle of Jesus. The story goes, in indifference to time, how his mother came and told him that they were out of wine. You ever been out of wine? Say amen when you can. The conversation he had with the men there was to fill up the water pots. The point I'm driving is that he changed water into wine. And when the governor came and took a drink of it, he said, "Y'all done changed and saved the best for the last." If you notice, what Jesus did was he changed the quality of the wine. You see, the quality of the wine that Jesus made was better than the wine that they had already served. Now, the point here is that Jesus has power over quality. This is why you need to accept him, because he has power over quality. And if today you are in this room, and you want a better quality of life, then you need to accept Jesus, who has the power over quality. The power that Jesus has over quality, he can release it into your life. So if you want your life to be better, you're in the right place today. All you need to do is accept Jesus Christ, and he'll make your life better. "Well, preacher, how can he make my life better?" I'm glad you asked that question. Listen to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. He said, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature." Am I right about it? "Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new." God can give you a better life because Jesus has power over quality. So if you're looking for quality, and that is a quantitative life, you need to accept Jesus Christ, because he has power over quality. He'll make you a better person. He'll show you how to walk. He'll show you how to talk. He'll show you how to think. And the reason I know that is because Philippians chapter 4 gives us one of the psychological profiles for a child of God. What is it that is germane to the unity of the body of Christ, and how we can get the body of Christ unified? Power over quality. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." So Who in here today is looking for a better quality of life? Who is here looking for a better quality of relationship? Who in here is looking for a better quality of home life? Who in here is just looking for a better kind of life? So since we are here, I'm giving you the remedy. I'm giving you the prescription. I'm giving you the strategy, if you will, for having a better quality of life, which is to give your life to the one who has power over quantity and over quality, if you please. Now, if you want it, you're going to have to obey him, because he gives eternal life to all them that obey him. Acts 5:32, John 3:15, John 10:28, and Romans 6:23. So Jesus has power over quality. God's strategy for a quality life. And it just seems to me that you would want him to release that quality right into your life. He has control over what it is that can give you a quality life. So if you want any, you can have a quality life without money. Oh, y'all tight, but I'm right. I think I just said something. You can't say, well, I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. You can have a quality life without money. So if you want it, you're going to have to obey Jesus, because he gives eternal life to all them that obey him. Jesus has power over quality. And number two, Jesus got power over nature. Not only that, but in the sixth chapter of the book of John, verses 16 through 20, the Bible talked about when Jesus' helpers was out there on their ship, and the storm began to roar and the winds began to blow, and they thought they were going to lose their lives. The Bible says Jesus came walking on the water. Is that in your Bible? Here's a man, church, that has power to change the molecular structure of water and use it as a sidewalk. He made it lay down like a pet before his master. What does that mean, church? It means he has power over nature. And not only does he have power over quality, but he's got power over nature. He can walk on the water. He can speak to it and say, peace, be still. And when he said, peace, be still, the water got flat and the wind stopped blowing, because my Lord got power over nature. That's another reason I want you to accept him today, because he's got power over nature and he can change your nature. You don't like the star under which you was born astrologically. Jesus can change it, because he will give you an opportunity to be born again. He has the power over nature, and he can allow you to be born again without even going back into your mama's womb. John 3:3-6. He can cause a rebirth through water and the Spirit. And if perchance you don't like your astrological sign, then try being born again. Then you can come out not under some astrological sign, but under the star Bethlehem. Jesus can change your nature. He can change the way you think. He can give you a new nature. He can make you a new person. You don't have to go home in the same shape you were in when you came in this building. You don't have to go home the way you came. Your nature can be changed. God can give you everlasting life. That everlasting life and eternity is in Jesus Christ when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Heaven will come down to you. John chapter 14 and verse 23 says, if any man will love me and keep my word, my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Or you might as well say amen when you can. I know good preaching when I hear it. You see, that's good stuff right there, church. You just miss your shout. A changed nature. And when God gets through with you and you don't see things like you used to see things, it's not that the thing you've been looking at changed, because fate doesn't change things, but it changes how you see things. Am I right about it? If that's a good-looking woman sitting beside you, hold me up, Holy Ghost. Whether you're a Christian or not, she's still good-looking. Before you became a child of God, your approach would have been different from what it is now. Because your faith sees her, and you see her a little differently because of your faith. You see, faith doesn't change things. Usher still sounds good. Some of y'all done start patting your feet already. Marvin Gaye still sounds good. Barry White, who sings, practice what you preach. Your ears still hear it the same. But faith changes how you see stuff. Stuff that used to make you angry, make you want to fight somebody. That stuff that stuff that caused you to lie on folk. Mm-hmm. Well, that same stuff is still happening, but your response is the difference between a child of God and a person who is not a child of God. It's all in your response. In other words, you're both under the same pressure, but you respond differently. That's because of the nature that's in you. It's because eternity is in you. God is in you. Christ is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you and dwell in you. And since they dwell in me, and then it's not me, Galatians 2:20, that lives, but it's the Christ that lives within me. Jesus got power over nature. He was able to walk on water. And if you allow him to come into your life and accept him today as your personal Savior, he will release the power into your life to walk metaphorically on water. Things you thought you could never get through, but now that your faith is intact, you can walk around every day saying, if God be for me, am I right about it? If God be for me, who can be against me? Jesus can and will release power into your lives. That's why you need to be a member of the body of Christ. The church of Christ is true to his name. The fruit it bears is just the same. No human creed to lead astray, because Jesus said, I am the way. Some folks say that church can't be true because its members are so few. But I stopped by to tell you about the church in Noah's day, that there was only 8 members in the righteous way. So on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's why you need Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, I like Christ, but I don't know about the church. Well, you can't have one without the other. The very act that puts you into Christ is the same act that puts you into the church of Christ. Come to Christ today, and you are coming to be a member of the church of Christ. Romans 16 and 16, Acts chapter 2 and 47, Matthew 16 and 18. I'm going to give you script, not lip. Amen, Walls. And Jesus also has, point number three, he has power over quantity. Because when you read your Bible in John chapter 6, verse 8 through 14, I said he had power over quality. I said he had power over nature. Now I'm telling you he got power over quantity. Because when you read your Bible, you read how Jesus fed 5,000. Well, what does that say to you? Jesus not only has power over quality, Jesus not only has power over nature, but he has power over quantity. I'm talking about how much. He took 5 loaves and a few fish and fed 5,000 people. He multiplied it and provided food for that multitude, because quantity, how much, wasn't a problem for him. You may say, well, bro, preacher, I ain't got nothing. But he can take nothing and make something out of it. Yes, he is a God that can work with nothing. He can take your nothing and make something. He not only has power over quantity, how much, but John shows that he's a willing provider. He'll provide for you even when you don't know how it's going to come out. When you're in Jesus, we may not know when. We might not know why or how. But here's one thing you do know. You can know who. Am I right about it? Y'all tight, but I'm right. You know who had, who you know who, and you know that he will be there, because he says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, I'll never forsake you, nor will I ever leave you alone. Paul said in the Philippian letter in chapter 4 and verse 19, our God will supply all of your needs. Ain't no sense in tripping on President Trump or no governor or no mayor. You better keep your mind stayed on Jesus, because you don't have to worry about minimum. God will supply all of our needs. You see, quantity doesn't bother the master, because he's got power over quantity. Just give him your talent. Give God your knowledge. Give him your skill. Give him your finances. Give him your education. Give him your love. And you will be surprised at what God would do with what you have. He's a God that can take a little bit and do a whole lot with it. The reason is he has power over quantity. I'm trying this morning to get you to see these are reasons for which you need to accept him as your personal savior. And not only that, but my last point is this. Point number four. Jesus got power over death. Y'all hear what I said? He got power over death. And finally, when we get over to Bethany, reading John 11 of the Johannine literature, we find Jesus over in Bethany. And he's there because Lazarus is dead. And his sister sent for Jesus in John 11, 1 through 44. Well, didn't you hear him say the other day when somebody sent and asked for him, where do you stay? And he said, the bears of the air have nests. Foxes got holes. But the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Ain't got no address. I'm just out here. When the disciples wanted to find him, however, you could always find Jesus, because he's always available. Call him up and tell him what you want. They sent for Jesus and told him, your friend Lazarus is dead. They said to try and put some pressure on him. You notice he didn't just say, like they say, your friend Lazarus is dead. This is your friend. You ate at his house. We cooked dinner for you, Jesus. This ain't just anybody. Jesus, you need to get over here, and you need to get over here right now. But Jesus waited, because he had something else in mind. You see, you have to let God do what he does. Let go and let God. We got to just get out the way. Jesus waited until Lazarus died. Then he said, let's go, y'all. Because he knew that to raise him up while he's sick, he had healed other sick folk. So nothing spectacular about that. But to let him die, be dead for 4 days and 4 nights and stinking. So there was no question as to whether or not Lazarus was really dead. Now Jesus, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? I can hear my Lord saying, you may not know what I will do, but you ought to know what I can do. Because I got power over death. Let me take you on a little excursion here. You remember in Genesis chapter 5, verse 18 through 23, and even in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5, when Jesus about put death out of business, death got after Enoch. But by faith, Enoch was just taken away. So that he did not even see death. And was not found. You know how y'all is. Go looking for him. He round him somewhere. His face on that milk carton. But we gonna find him round here somewhere. But the Bible says he was taken away. So he did not even see death. Was not found because God had taken him. Because God got power over death. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 through 37. Remember that Shunammite woman? And that Shunammite woman, she had been wanting a son so bad, got her son, and the boy died. And the prophet went in, and she told the prophet about it, and he laid his body over that boy's body. And he gave him mouth to mouth. Read the text. And then he gave him eye to eye. And then he gave him hand to hand. And the boy's body began to get warm. Prophet got up, checked him out, and then got back on him. And the boy sneezed 7 times and got up from the dead and began to walk. Why? Because our God got power over death. And not only that, you remember Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 2 by verse 11, when Elijah and Elisha were walking and talking, and suddenly a chariot of fire, like better than the mover calves, a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire, separated them, and Elijah went on up in a whirlwind of glory, and death couldn't touch him. Couldn't do him no harm because Jesus got power over death. Well, you don't like that? Then look at this. Elisha, who was following Elijah before he got caught up to glory, so death couldn't do him no harm. Elijah was waiting on God to take him, but Elijah kept on following him. Elijah said, Elisha, stay here in Gilgal. God want me in Bethel. But Elijah said, as long as the Lord live, I ain't going nowhere. Even the sons of the prophets of Bethel said, Elisha, don't you know the day God going to take your master from you? And he said, I know, just shut up. And I ain't going nowhere. And Elijah said, he knew all this stuff. And then the prophet Elijah came back and said, God want me in Jericho. You stay here. He said, no, I ain't staying here. He said, God want me in Jordan. You stay here. He said, I ain't staying here. And then all of a sudden, Elijah said, what do you want? And he said, I want a double portion of that spirit that you got in you. And he said, okay, if you see me, when God take me up, you going to get it. But if you miss it, you ain't going to have it. And then all of a sudden, the Bible said, horses of chariots of fire came and took Elijah on up the glory. Isn't that all right? But I want you to see something else that I think is more powerful. You see, Elijah, somewhere in the Bible, Elijah, he eventually died himself. He eventually died himself in 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. He died and he was buried in the graveyard of the dead. And then some thugs, some killers, some bad boys, some raiders came into Bethel and started killing folk and taking over. And then they had a dead man with them they had killed. And they was getting ready to bury the dead man, these thugs was. And then they looked up and they saw some other thugs, some other killers, some other raiders coming at them. And so they had to do something with the body, and they messed around. Read the Bible. They messed around and they took that dead man and they threw that dead man over in Elijah's grave, and his bones touched Elijah's bones, and he stood up on his feet and began to walk. Because our God got power over death. So what did he do? He can use the dead to raise the dead if he want to. And the last one is Jairus' daughter. Y'all remember the story over there in Mark 5, 22 through 42, or Luke 8, 41 through 46. When Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, he went to Jesus and he said, Jesus, my 12-year-old daughter is sick, and you need to come and lay hands on her and help her to get well. And Jesus said, okay. And Jesus, he didn't just wait like he did on Lazarus, but I tell you, he starts strolling with the man, and all of a sudden he gonna stop. There's a whole crowd around him, and then he stops and somebody touched me. And they like, look, man, look at all these folks. Somebody touched me, you know, and I felt some virtue go out of me. And now he gonna stop and talk to this one. What's wrong with you? And she said, Lord, I've been sick with this issue of blood, and if I could but touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole. Because that woman had more, Jesus got more medicine in his garment than all the Walgreens in the United States. And the Bible says she became whole. And you know, the man, his daughter sick, he like, now what's wrong with Jesus? His other people came to the ruler of the synagogue, and they said, man, leave the master alone. He said, don't trouble him no more. Your daughter is dead. She done died already. And Jesus said, come on, man, let's go on to the house. And they went on to the house, and Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and the mother and the father into the. He said, what are you folk in here crying and carrying on for and causing all this commotion? And Jesus put them out the house, and Jesus had Peter, James, and John, the mama and daddy with her, and he said something like Talitha Kumi, which means, look, girl, get up. Get on up from now. And the Bible says, woo, that girl got up. And Jesus said, y'all give her something to eat. Praise God. Just give her. So you talking about Jesus, what you going to do? Now we're going to see a display and exercise of power over death. Jesus knew that to raise Lazarus up from a sick bed would give God some glory, but to raise him from the tomb where he's dead and stinking would give God more glory. And so he went over there to the grave. Mary was all upset, and she said, if you would have been here, she said, you just would have been. She was just arguing with the Lord. And we have folk in the church that were arguing with the Lord. And Jesus said, just show me where you laid him. Because he knew he had power over death. And he went to the tomb and called him by his name. Lazarus, come forth. And he got up from the dead. He came up, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Power over death. When they killed him and buried him in Joseph's new tomb, down there, Jesus was down there 3 days and three nights wrestling with hell, death, and the grave. And the book says that death got some keys. Hell got some keys. Master down there in the grave walked up to death and said, I understand that y'all got some keys down here. I don't need the keys, but for everybody that's going to come after me, he spoke to hell and said, I understand you got some keys. Just give me the keys to hell and death and the grave. And Jesus got up early Sunday morning, more mightier than Samson when he walked away with the gates of Gaza, told his disciples, meet me in Galilee, power over death. I heard him say in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, but I got news for you. I got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. I don't have to worry about death because my Lord took the sting out of death and took the victory from the grave. And now I walk around every day with that power in my life, knowing that death can't do me no harm. So there are some things that death cannot control. You can bury a mother, but you can't bury, you can bury a mother, but you cannot bury a mama's love. You can bury a musician, but you can't bury his beautiful music. You can bury a poet, but you can't bury his poems. You can bury my body, but you can't bury my soul. Because there are some things that death can't touch. Because Jesus got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Jesus got power over quality, power over nature, power over quantity, and he got power over death. And all you got to do is bow down to him in the context of his will, and everything will be all right. I tell you, stop by on my way to heaven to tell you that the gospel consists of facts, commands, and promises. We got to believe the facts, obey the commands, then we can enjoy the promises. Faith will change your heart. Repentance will change your life. Baptism will change your state. Forgiveness of sin will remove your guilt, and the gift of the Holy Spirit will make you a partaker of the divine nature of God. And one day when you're pressing a dying pillow, you can go on up to glory and wait your reward, and you can hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I make you rule over many. Enter ye into the joys of the kingdom of the Lord. And every day will be like Sunday, and every month the month of May, and every year year jubilee, and you will be able to walk the streets of gold, touch the walls of jasper, drink from fountains that never run dry, talk to the Father and chat with the Son, and tell him about this old world that you come from. Why don't you give your life to Jesus Christ right now while the blood is running warm in your veins, as together we stand and give God glory and praise. Come to Jesus
with all power,
with all power in his hand, and he can release that power into your life.
With all power in his hand, yes, in him. They tell me that he died on Friday.
Oh, yes, he did.
But he rose on
for
Sunday.
For you and for me.
I know.
Come to Jesus.
Rose with
Mama, what about you? Papa, what about you? Brother, sister,
Jesus rose.
Son or daughter, come to Jesus.
In his hand.
You can be born again.
I know that Jesus
of the water and of the Spirit. He can
power
change your nature. He can change your quality.
Him.
He can give you quantity.
He died on Friday.
And he can raise you up from the
but
graveyard of the dead.
On Sunday.